Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Sexology Podcast. You are listening to the second episode in this mini-series on modern dating. Today, we're going to talk about how you can manage online dating burnout. We're going to talk about how to assess if someone is a good date compared to a long-term partnership. We're going to talk about how you can effectively communicate your need and being assertive. We all know there are tons of bullshit going on and when it comes to online dating. And sometimes it can be discouraging when you're investing all this energy and effort and you feel it was just a waste of time. I am so excited to have two podcast co-hosts from Dateable to join us today. Today in this episode, we're joined by Julie Krafcik and Yui Chu. They are active daters turned dating insiders, a top influential voices of modern dating, relationships, and connection in the digital world. They're the author of How to Be Dateable, the Essential Guide to Finding Your Person and Falling in Love, and the co-host of the hit podcast Dateable, which has been named one of the top podcasts about modern dating and relationships by New York Times, The Huffington Post, Oprah Daily, and more. They're also the host and executive producer of dating experiment show Exit Interview. Julie brings her background in human-centered design and qualitative research, while Yu shares her expertise as a dating coach. And before we're going into the interview today, if you are living in Southern California, one of my colleague and I, Dr. Richard Espinoza's, we are hosting a matchmaking event on Saturday after Valentine's Day. So you can just sign up in the link below, submit your application. It will be on February 15th. Based on our experiences doing psychological assessment, we curated this online questionnaires for people who apply for this program. And if our event is a good fit, we will invite you to the event on February 15th. So hopefully you'll be able to find the person that's a right fit for you. It opens to people of all gender. As of now, the price is very affordable. You can find the link to all the information in the show notes. All right, without further ado, here's my conversation with Julie and Yui on modern dating. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome co-hosts of Dateable, Julie and Yui. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for
having us, Nazanin.
I am very excited about this conversation. I know that we talked about how dating has evolved in the last few decades. When I started dating, it was definitely a different scene. At least it had its own setbacks, but at least when we were starting to communicate, people were interested. They wanted to move on to dating. But right now, I hear from many of my listeners that they've been doing lots of back and forth with potential dates without it ever turning to a date. Tell me, is that something that you guys see? Why this happened?
We see it all the time. We see this happening all the time because, one, we just have more choices than ever before. So there's a lot of analysis paralysis. Is this the right person for me? And also, this is really like the first time we're dating for love. We are thinking about long-term, not just relationships, but like, what do I want long-term from love? And that's something our parents' generation, their parents' generation, they were not able to navigate because they didn't have the privilege of navigating that. So there's just a lot of like the blind leading the blind in dating. But that's why we wrote this book, because we think there are ways to rise out of these frustrations, and it could be such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the benefit too of dating nowadays is that you have choice. You don't have to do anything. Like in the past, it was assumed that you would have a long-term relationship that led to marriage. And while that's something that is very much a viable option in today's world, like not everyone is looking for that. So it makes dating more complicated, because not, you can't assume that if you're on a dating app that everyone's looking for the same thing as you. But then also when you ask someone, they might not always either know what they have capacity for, or just human nature. Sometimes you just want to say what sounds good and socially acceptable. So a lot of times we have to really let these interactions play out, and it can become really draining, especially if you're talking to multiple people at once and, you know, you're seeing a lot of conversations fade out and people ghost you. And it, for the best of us, it can really drain our mental health if we don't have the tools to make dating work for us.
I agree with you. And I think we see a different pattern, right? Some people want to meet someone, but they have their own setbacks that gets in the way of them ever finding love or the person, or even moving forward with dating. Sometimes people, as you said, they don't have the intention of longer term partnership. It's just, it's a game and the chasing, all of that. That's what's exciting for them. How can we protect ourselves? How can we, if our goal is I want partnership out of this, what strategy do you guys recommend?
Well, first and foremost, understand that you can't fully protect yourself. Heartbreak, disappointment, that's all part of human life. And the more, and we actually find that the more people try to protect themselves, the more they actually fall for the wrong people because they're so closed off. So I think first and foremost, we would tell people to use the V word, to be more vulnerable. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive, but to find the right partner for you, you have to show the deep sides of who you are and not be performative and not try to protect yourself, because that's the only way to let someone in and have them fully and authentically connect with you.
Yeah, we do think, though, there are a lot of traps that are caused by modern dating culture. Like, for instance, one that we feel near and dear about is what we call the expectation of love on demand. And part of that is just the world that we're in today. Everything happens instantaneously. And that trickles down to dating, right? You can get a you get an Uber in 5 minutes. You can get food delivered to you, go on a yoga class, all the things. And then with dating, if we meet someone and there's that, not that instantaneous spark, we don't want to keep going with it. And we don't give things time to develop. And what happens too with, you know, that is that we tend to get ahead of ourselves. And when we do meet someone where that spark is, then we envision this future that may or may not play out. So I think one of the ways that we can, you know, I guess agree with you, A, that we can never fully protect ourselves, but at least we can be conscious, is to look at the patterns as they're happening, like take things for face value and not get ahead of ourselves projecting something that might not be reality.
Speaking of vulnerability, I think it's incredible that you guys, while you were single, you had this show and you guys are in a partnership. Did it ever impact your dating life? People were like dating you and they were listening to the show. What, tell us about that.
Oh my God, I had an instance once that I definitely like revealed a little too much on the podcast. So it became actually something that I tried not to talk about, and that also backfired in certain ways. So, you know, it's like one of those things, like our podcast was never us really disclosing like the ins and outs of all of our dates, but it was more just like understanding dating. So I think once people actually listen to the show, they could see it as an asset, not necessarily as a problem. But when you hear dating podcasts, your mind goes there. But I think actually one of the things that stood out with my now partner is the how supportive he was and interested he was in it. So again, it's one of those things, everyone has something that they're like thinks makes them a little undateable. But the more we lean into it, it just allows the right people to surface.
I love that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we try to, again, like Julie said, we try to not to disclose too many details, but we also found that we're trying to get people away from just talking about dating stories because we don't learn from those. And our podcast actually started out that way. It was like, let's share funny dating stories. And at some point you just go, is this actually helping us? So now what we share is the learnings. We don't share the details of what went down in our dating experiences, but here's how we came out of it and here's what we learned from it.
I love that. I think in this day and age, there's need for both, right? I think you get validation when you hear people's struggles because they have clients that are very successful and say, what's wrong with me? I haven't found the one. Mm-hmm. And hearing stories is very powerful for them. They say, oh, okay, so this system is not working. It's not about me at times. And also, I think kind of like teaching practical approaches also, that's very, very important and useful because we're not re-traumatizing each other, which can be challenging.
Before we did this podcast, like I thought something was wrong with me because like I could never get past the third date. And once we, like other people heard that this struggle was real, that it was normalized, I think that is really helpful to like understand. And, you know, we have to acknowledge that dating is harder than ever before. And we always like to say, like, we believe everyone is dateable. It's just modern dating that's getting in your way.
I agree with you. And I think it's important to kind of know, like, you know, what are your patterns, right? As you guys mentioned, and what might get in the way of you meeting the person that you want. I truly believe that this online dating system that we have is not yielding the result that it used to, right? I think it requires more savviness right now to make sure that this transfers to the relationship or partnership, because otherwise you're just in this loop. How can we make it work for us? Like, I want to go on date to see if people are working, like they're a match. I don't have time to be on app 20 hours texting. What do you recommend for people that they are in that space?
Such a great question. I love the point you made because it's not so much the apps that are not doing us a favor, it's how we're using the apps and how we haven't evolved our way of using technology for us. So one of the many ways we talk about in the book is really looking at how much time you spend on the apps and if it's energizing or if it's depleting you. So I know for me, after 2 hours of swiping, I'm dead. I'm done. And anything past the 2 hours, that's draining my battery. So if we can all be clear on at what point is there diminishing returns on the apps, then we know how to regulate that and say, okay, now it's no longer energizing. I'm going to put the phone down. I'm going to go do something that actually energizes me.
I feel really strongly that we're using our time on the wrong things. Like, we hear so many people getting bogged down and analyzing profiles and coming up with the perfect opening line. And all of that, in my opinion, it needs to be like to a level that like you're getting matches for your profile, but there's a big point of diminishing returns and the amount of time spent versus like the draining that UA was mentioning, like especially if all you're doing on dating apps is looking at a screen, that's going to be draining. Like, the energizing part is when you have conversations and you go on the date and have the connection. So our whole thing is like, instead of focusing on the profile, think about it, maybe like you're inviting this person to a house party. Look at the profile for 30 seconds, get a gut feel. You don't have to make any further decisions at this point. Would I be interested in getting to know this person a little more as someone, you know, that could be at a party with me? Of course, if it's a hard no, then, you know, save both of your time. But if it's a yes, then you start to filter through the conversation, because only then you can see what someone brings to the table and how willing they are. Like, if they're not willing to, for instance, get on a phone call with you or a video call. I actually wish more people did this still from the pandemic. It kind of was like a drop off after. But adding that little friction actually is huge help, because it lets you see who is willing to take those next steps and eventually meet you in person.
Absolutely. And I think it's very helpful to kind of like get uncomfortable, right? That I think it's easiest for everyone to just do the chatting and saying, I hope I'm waiting for the person to kind of ask me out. But that also creates more pause in the conversation. And I think like when you're dating someone, it's all about momentum. When you come having a conversation, you want to make sure that you're, as you said, tuning into yourself. Is this good for, possibly good fit for me or not? And then going to the next step that you have more information. One of the things I liked about your book, you guys talk about dating archetypes. Tell us more about what does that entail and how can we know our archetype? I know you guys have a wonderful assessment, but give us a little bit of a glimpse.
Actually, I was just wondering, Nazanin, did you take the quiz?
I haven't. No, I'm not single, but now I'm curious.
And I think it goes back to what we've been talking about is we all have these tendencies in the way we date, in the way we find love, that some of it is our superpower and some of it may be a blind spot or something that's holding us back. So we created this dating archetype assessment basically to show you what are your superpowers so you can really lean into and what are some areas that you can be on a watch out for. So for example, one of our archetypes is, I will describe myself, Maverick, is the independent person who is so clinging on to their independent identity that they end up running away from serious conversations at any point of conflict or any areas where they think they need to put in a little bit more effort, all for the sake of clinging on to their identity of being independent. So the superpower in that is you're super independent. You can really be strong in yourself and you're really great being single and taking yourself out. But the watch out and what could be holding me back as a Maverick is I'm not letting these connections really flourish because I am running away and avoiding the moment things do get deeper or a little bit harder.
And I was a dreamer / achiever. So you can absolutely fall into multiple. We've seen most people have two leading archetypes. And the way it's designed too is that we tend to all have a little of everything. It's not like you're one thing only. And also we've seen that people, when they've taken it, they're like, oh, back in the day, when I was dating earlier, I was this archetype, but now I'm more this one. So it can also evolve. So I was the dreamer / achiever. And the dreamer archetype is, you know, the one that's a hopeless romantic at heart, really sees the best in people, really wants that big love story, you know, a very giving person by nature, but sometimes not really discerning, like gives that person like 4 or 5 or 10 chances when they really should be like, this person is not meeting my needs. It's time to move on to find someone that is. Oftentimes the dreamer gets ahead of themselves, like clinging on to that great first date when afterwards nothing has been great. And, you know, again, like what people are saying versus what they're doing, all of that. The achiever archetype, this is the person that's more milestone driven. Like by the third date, X will happen. By the fourth month, Y will happen. And I want, you know, I have a goal in mind. Like I'm dating with intention. Again, really great thing because what this person brings to, you know, dating is they'll act with conviction. They'll make that commitment. Like they know what they want and they're not afraid to go after it, which again, all positive qualities. But the downside is sometimes it's hard to stay present when you're always thinking about the future. And then also if dates aren't going your way, it can be really draining. Or you might hold on to someone that isn't right for you because you don't want to start all over again.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Nazanin Mooli, and I'm here to help break down taboos around intimacy and mental health so you can live your best life both in and out of the bedroom. That's why I've teamed up with NoCD to bring you the tools and resources you need to recover from obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD. OCD is often misunderstood, something I've personally experienced and have seen many times in my work as a psychologist. OCD is so much more than stereotypes about liking things clean or organized. It's a serious and highly misunderstood condition with often two main symptoms, intrusive thoughts and compulsions. A lot of people don't know they have it, feel shame about their symptoms and suffer in silence. But if you're struggling, there is hope. OCD is highly treatable with a specialized type of therapy called ERP or exposure and response prevention. Let me share a secret with you. Not every therapist understands OCD or is qualified to treat it effectively, which can make it difficult to find the right help. With OCD, you can do live virtual ERP therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in ERP and OCD. So they truly understand what you're going through, even the symptoms that can feel hard to talk about. OCD make this life-changing treatment affordable, and they accept more than 60 insurance plans, enabling over 155 million Americans to access evidence-based treatment at OCD covered by insurance. If you or someone you love is struggling with OCD, you're not alone. And with the right care, you can get better. To find out more about therapy with OCD, go to nocd.com and book a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free call.
I love that. And I think kind of like with knowing your archetype, it can help you to kind of have a roadmap of what to look out for, as you mentioned, as far as like, okay, maybe I need to be more present, or maybe I need to be able to, I guess, be matched with someone that they value independency or kind of practice interdependency, which is important. And I think sometimes we are replaying, or people might, like other partner, replaying their childhood dynamic, which we do unless we know it all the time. Maybe we think that if we can put in enough effort, we can change this person who's not interested in long-term partnership. So we think we have powers that no one does, and it comes from childhood injuries. How can we, what's your suggestion for women, I guess, that are more assertive at work? You know, something that you guys mentioned, there's like, which I see a lot with my clients, there are women that are very assertive at work. They know what they want. But when it comes to dating, right, they feel that, okay, my partner needs to ask me. Traditionally, men need to ask for a date. So they're waiting for that. Or maybe they're supposed to go Thursday on a date for hiking and you're not hearing on by Thursday morning. So how can they navigate these conflicting scripts in our minds?
Before we go into tactics, I just want to point out too is what your archetype in dating might not always be your archetype in other parts of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like what you were just saying about, you know, the person that's hyper-focused on work. It's not assumed that you'll be an achiever in dating. Like it's, and also just to note too, there are two other archetypes, the thinker and the energizer as well. But just putting that out there that who we show up as in the dating world is often very different. And I think sometimes there's expectations like from the past too of like dating is supposed to work a certain way, or men are supposed to be the pursuers in a hetero dynamic because that's how dating works. That's how it is. And if like I'm connected to a lot of this stuff that, you know, is ultimately not necessarily the way it's working current day, but in the past. So it's really important to separate like how we want it to work versus how we think it should.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times for people who are really assertive in other areas of their life, their egos are ultra sensitive. So then they bring that into dating. They feel like, oh, if I make the first move, I lose. There's that winning and losing mentality. And I absolutely had this when I was dating. I kept thinking, well, if I'm the one pursuing or initiating, then I'm losing and my value goes down. Like how many TV shows have we watched where it's like, if you're the woman and you make the first move, then they won't see you the same way and your value goes down. So the question to ask yourself is it my ego speaking or is it out of love? And yeah. I think out of love, I would lovingly probably tell, set someone up for success. I really appreciate it when someone initiates. Like if I were to set that expectation on a date, then the other person may lovingly accept that and say, oh, okay, she really appreciates initiation. But if I go in a date and be like, I believe the man should initiate, the man should pay, then that becomes combative and it becomes about winning and losing.
I think one of the other challenges too is like when we cling to the past, it's not always reflective of modern day worlds. So like we hear of the people that are waiting still because that's like the message we got for so many years. But the reality in today's world with dating apps, when there are so many options, if you're just waiting, not putting in any effort, regardless of your gender, your sexuality, anything, like you're going to be left behind because things move so quickly. And, you know, if someone's not responsive, people are on to the next. So we also need to think about, like, are these tactics that we thought, you know, are the way dating works, like, are they actually helping us? Or are they working against us?
I agree with you. And I think it's important to tell people to look at your own history. Right. You're an expert in your history. If you feel like you want something, that like you want partnership, you are living in a big city, you've been utilizing all the resources, like many people with online dating, with kind of in person, kind of like matchmaking, and you haven't found the kind of quote unquote the one. I mean, it's possibility of there is some adjustment that needs to be made, because sometimes people get hooked on this story of my person is not out there. Instead of kind of thinking about what can I do to empower myself with kind of like changing the dating habit that I have. And as you guys talk about becoming more dateable, something that's very painful for many people, can be discouraging, is ghosting. They invested hours and hours of their valuable time, kind of shared kind of their vulnerable self with people, and then the person disappears or they unmatch them. Tell us, why are some of the reason that people might ghost each other and how to cope with that?
Well, there's no point in trying to figure out the why. That's probably one of our key learnings in the book. It's like we can sit here for hours, days trying to figure out the why, but it doesn't really matter. The ghosting is something we cannot avoid in dating. And yes, it hurts. And yes, it sucks. But it is just how some people operate, because some people are avoidant, or they run away, or they don't know how to express something that's going on with their life right now. The only thing we can control in dating is how we react to it. Is this going to bog me down? Is this going to make me feel less hopeful about dating? Well, you are now in power to harness the disappointment and say, actually, I don't believe that everyone ghosts. Actually, I am optimistic about dating. And actually, I'm glad this person removed themselves out of my life so it makes room for the right person to come. It's all a reframe. We get so many questions about how do I avoid people from ghosting? You can't. Sorry. They just exist. But the only thing you can do is how you react to it.
Yeah. I think the other piece too is like, how do you become the person you want to date? Like if you're sick of all these people ghosting, if you want someone real that's emotionally available, you need to become that person yourself. Like I will always remember this conversation that we had with a friend of ours on the podcast. And she was talking about like how in life, she is someone that, you know, if someone texts, she will text you right back. If someone wants to set up a business meeting, she is on it. But in dating, she felt like she was starting to succumb to the lowest denominator. So because everyone else was ghosting, she would start to ghost. And it was making her into the person that she didn't want to be. But she was doing it because, again, that's how modern dating is. That's how it operates. And what she was saying is like when someone gives me 10% effort, I give them 9% effort. And our take was, why not give them 0%? If they're showing you that they can't show up for you, and again, with the ghoster, like maybe they're giving you 0% because they're ghosted and they're no longer here, but our minds will still be giving them effort if we're constantly thinking about them. Let's go down and give that person 0 and then focus on the people that are actually going to show up for us. I think if I could do one thing differently in my dating life, it would be exactly that, is to invest to the people that are investing in me and not trying to like convince someone to be with me that isn't there or ready or wanting or have the capacity for a relationship.
I like that. Like not trying to prove your worth, right? Yeah. Like sometimes we get this in this cycle of if they can truly see me or see best version of me, and then they can change their mind. And it can be very painful, right? Because it hits some of our abandonment issues that maybe we had as a child, and we might kind of get stuck, and it's hard to work through some of these kind of like stories that show up, like, oh, they were wonderful, why they got disappeared. But you're right that it gets away from the place of you investing in relationship. And I think sometimes I talk about it with my clients, maybe you want to take a break, right? That if you are feeling that I'm going to just kind of do the ghosting, maybe I just like, I'm the people, the people don't worth the effort, all of that. And that maybe that might, you might need a break. Is that something that you guys recommend? If people are burnt out, what do you suggest them to do?
Absolutely take an intentional break if you're going to take a break. I think like what you were describing was me to a core. That was the dynamic of the achiever and the dreamer that you were trying to prove yourself. You wanted it to work so bad, but you were getting ahead of yourself and not recognizing like this person isn't showing up for me. And I feel like I personally was in a cycle of situationships before they were even titled situationships, and that would never actually go anywhere. And it really took me taking a solid year off from dating. But in that year, it was like deep reflection. I was in therapy. I was doing like outside work. This was again, I think maybe in like the first year of us doing Dateable. So I was like in the thick of it, learning even here. And I think in retrospect, I'm glad I took that break, because while, yeah, it definitely was like not active dating in that time, it did let me get ahead of what these patterns were that were holding me back and try to make different choices. That being said, if you're just uninstalling and reinstalling the apps and not actually doing any reflection in this time, or just ruminating about the past, then maybe that's not the best strategy and it's not actually moving you forward.
Yeah, that's exactly it. What else are you doing with your time when you are taking that dating sabbatical? I mean, it's very counterproductive to use that time to tell all your friends that you're taking a dating sabbatical, which is what we hear all the time. It's like, I'm taking a dating sabbatical right now. Like, okay, in the time that you're telling people about it, what are you doing with that time? Like, I love that Julie took that time to really get clarity on what she's looking for and where her boundaries are now. And if she were to date again, what would that look like? What would her ideal relationship even feel like on a day-to-day basis? So really, like, if you take that time, take that break, all good, good for you, but know what you're spending that time on elsewhere.
I love that. Kind of like making sure that you are working on yourself. If like partnership is something that you want to have, you're not at a place of resignation versus kind of place of kind of improvement, that I'm improving. So this is a mean to an end. So I will be able to find a partner that I want. If you have one tip for our listeners that they don't know what to do with kind of like when they are screening out people when it comes to their profile, like what would be that tip? How would I know that if the person is potentially a match or not? And I know you guys already gave us such a good tip of, I'm okay being in the party with them or not.
I mean, I think the reality is we can't know from a profile at all. It's funny that we put so much weight on the profile when in a relationship, you actually don't need a dating profile. In fact, it's the one thing you don't need. So I think actually maybe the first step is just realizing you can't tell from the profile. We see people getting really excited about people they're matching with, but they don't know anything about them. So how do you just like have this? It's like, what's the balance, right, of being hopeful still of this person, but not getting ahead of yourself? And again, I think it's the conversations, the patterns, like, are they willing to set up dates? Are they asking questions about you? Those are the things that you can really start to judge, like if this person could be someone that you could pursue further.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. I think also give yourself a time limit so that, I mean, we said like, take no longer than 30 seconds to look at a profile, and that's all you really need. And then give yourself a time limit for swiping too, maybe like 5 minutes at a time so you don't get burnt out. Understand that you're not swiping for a future husband, wife, / long-term partner. You're just swiping for a potential connection. And that connection is about being in the presence, right? In the present time of what that connection could be. So don't overthink it. Just get excited about a potential new connection.
Such a good point. I love the idea of a time limit. And I tell people, I'm like, you got to kind of think about, like, I think pictures are important, although it's a whole art and kind of effort that can take into people finding a right picture. But I think I would say, like, first, chemistry, because for many of my clients, potential chemistry is important. If someone gives you this visceral reaction, I'm not into this, don't waste your time. And then red flags, right? Like maybe someone had, like, your political party is important. They say, I'm only date this, or I don't want children and you want a child. So that's another easy way of kind of screening.
I think if there's a, like, a heck no, like you were just saying, then yeah, like it's not worth either of your time. But if you're a maybe, our motto is, if you're a maybe, it's a yes. Because really, at the end of the day, dating apps are just an introduction. And even the first date, like, we put so much pressure on the first date to know if this is someone that we're going to continue to see. The reality is, first dates are awkward. Like, they are inherently awkward, and people don't always show up as their full self. So again, unless you find them not attractive in the slightest, or you really hate being in their presence, like, it could be worth going on that second or third date. We've just heard so many stories from people being like, I was a maybe on date one and two, and then three, I was like, yep, this is the person for me.
Amazing. Well, I know you guys have your show, you have your book, so many great resources. So if our listeners are curious about you and want to connect with you, what are some of the places that they can go to follow your work?
Well, first of all, you can get the book at howtobedatable.com. That links out to all the retailers where you're able to get your hands on the book. And then if you want to find out more about us, you can go to datablepodcast.com. That links out to all of the platforms we're on and also the places for you to contact us directly.
And then at Datable Podcast on Instagram. Really can find us anywhere on the internet, any podcast platform.
Thank you so much for all the wonderful work that you're doing and the wonderful book that you put out. I enjoyed reading it, and I'm sure our listeners are going to get tons of value out of it. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you so much, Nazanin, for having us.
My pleasure. I hope you guys found our conversation meaningful and gave you some tips on how to navigate online communication. If you also have questions about dating, send us your question. You can find me on Instagram at Sexology Podcast. So we'll incorporate it in our conversation in this season on modern dating. I love Julie and Yui's book. I invite you to check it out. And if you're serious about dating, you are in Southern California, Los Angeles County, apply for our dating matchmaking event, and hopefully we'll see you there. All right, I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.